You know, sometimes we don't understand how come God does what he does or why he does what he does. But today, as I was crying out to him, just trying to rest because it was such a, let's say, event-filled day. It was multiples of levels of events, and Mom needed some extra attention. We had to get a hold of the doctor. He called, blah, blah, blah. Lots of ins and outs with that situation, but obviously the loss of my wife's friend. And it was really funny because you know how God sometimes will have you do something and you just don't comprehend what he's up to. I had to go to the mall the other day and I was pressed to go into one of the stores. And there was a discount rack and I happened to peek and there was a shirt. And I got kind of excited because I bought the shirt. It's a regular t-shirt. It's nothing fancy. But it has an old-fashioned red pickup truck like I used to have when I first moved here. And in fact, when I met Doris and my wife at that party, that's the truck I had. And I followed Irene, because Doris didn't drive at the time. I followed Irene so she could drop off Doris at her house, and then I followed Irene to her house, and we sat. And we talked for an hour and a half in front of her house. And of course, when we went to visit her, you know, I came home with that shirt and I said to my wife, I said, does that remind you of anything? And so we had a little teasing party about, you know, how God works. And of course, then there was an event for Vanessa this past Saturday. So the family was together and it was a cry for, again, watching how God can use different things. And they sold raffle tickets and so on. And my wife said to the mother of, or grandmother of Vanessa, because they sold these tickets, you buy one and, you know, they give you a number and all that good stuff. So I want that prize right there. Well, I couldn't really make out what it was, but I had given her the money and we split the tickets and obviously they raffled them up a little later. And the prize is a one-night free hotel room at the public house. And I didn't know how they could have gotten such a thing from Sturbridge, because it's, you know, like, wow, why get something from there? But it's nice. I mean, I've been there for dinner, but my wife has never been. And we've lived here all these years, but we just never happened to be. So this young lady said, I'm the one that got that, because she works there. She's the hostess. And she slept at our house with Vanessa when Vanessa was a kid. Talk about a circle of events. And my wife says, of all things to win, because she went out and bought the baby for a ride because she was getting a little fussy. And when she came back in, I had the prize. We won it. So that was kind of a cool thing, you know. So we're going away for one night. I don't know when, but we got till, I forgot what the date is, next year anyway. So that was kind of a cool thing that God would provide, you know. I mean, yes, you buy tickets, but sometimes you go home with nothing, and sometimes it's a useless item. But this was kind of a cool thing, you know, just to say we were going to go out and we're going to be able to stay over. And not 50 miles, but it's a fun place to go. And I was thinking maybe there'll be something happening at the church down the road. So, you know, I said, Lord, maybe you're doing something here, preparing something. So that was kind of neat. But I want to take you to the book of Hebrews, because that's where he brought me this afternoon. And the beginning of Hebrews chapter 9 is really all about the covenant and all about the agreements. And I want you to kind of read the last verse, which is verse 28. Even so it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and bear as a burden the sins of many, once and for all, will appear a second time. And everybody's waiting for the second coming. not carrying any burdens of sin, nor to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those, now remember again, it's people. He's bringing to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting him. Now, I know I heard the Amplified, so that's why I'm in the Amplified. Eagerly, constantly, patiently. Now, figure that one out. I mean, I don't know how you can coordinate all that, but waiting for and expecting him. And I said, Lord, I happened to watch the Praise the Lord program last night for about 3/4 of an hour, and it was exciting. It was a nice program. And they had Paul Crouch's grandson. Did you see it? Brandon. What a handsome young man, and so alive for Christ. And his confession was so sweet, because here he is, about 20-something. And he was in the world. And the Lord, because his grandmother and his mother and all of his family members interceded for him, today is full of life and crying out for the gospel to be put, and for angels, this was his commission, angels in every school in the United States of America. And then they took section by section and they prayed for the South, which I prayed with. And then, of course, it was like that time, so I said, Lord, I can't do any more, but I did my share, so let the Southerners pray for the North. They prayed for the whole world, that every student would have angels, and there would be plenty of angels. And of course, tonight, if you notice, we got angels showing up. So it's very, very nice. And we also got this beast that got kicked out, so that's kind of cool. So, you know, waiting for a full salvation. And tonight, I didn't say anything to Gail, but her comments were, oh my, what God has done. Oh my, what God has done. Okay? And you were actually declaring some of the salvation that you've been experiencing with some of the things that you've been picking up on the internet. And obviously, that even Mary Ann sent to you. And the impact in your heart. And really, what's happening is you're experiencing some of that salvation. This is your season. You know? And so, you know, that was a confirming word to me that this scripture is on target for us to really begin to understand that God is interested in developing us from what we were to what he wants us to be. And there's a part that we play. Now, I know that sometimes we walk in here and we walk in with a pile of garbage. I mean, I've done that when I used to go in the world and I'd come back to church. And I mean, I'd come and my shoulders and my head was full of everything but Jesus Christ, if that makes any sense. But God would come and he would minister to me and I would begin to, using different people now, you know, bringing me back to life. And then I could go on for a few more days and I can remember the persecution because I would go to church. Well, I'd say, if I don't go to church, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Because the burdens were explosive on every level. And I'd say to those that didn't bother coming to the house of the Lord, you wonder why you're falling apart. You're so focused on all the natural stuff. You'll never experience the next level of your walk with Christ. Because he's spirit, and you're going to develop into your fullness of salvation if you do your homework. Drop off some of these other more important things, supposedly, because they may be important in the natural, but your most important truth that I believe you need to be aware of is to receive the fullness of that salvation and to have that hunger and constantly and patiently waiting and expecting him to do something in us, to do something through us, and something dramatic for those around us. Never underestimating what he's about to do. Never underestimating that, yes, you're here right now, but you could be gone tomorrow. And I know that when we went to visit my wife's girlfriend last night, the first thing that we did was to realize that there was no way that we could communicate with her. That was just out of the question. And my wife and I both agreed that we were just going to intercede, and we both prayed, and we just rested with her. She just was out of it. And to make a long story short, the one thing that we were commissioned to do was to anoint her. Well, I've anointed, you know, Doris, and I don't can't tell you how many years now, and especially in the past 2 or 3 years because of her illness, she wouldn't even let us go home because, did you forget to pray for me? You know, and it was cool because she was expecting, she was wanting, she desired. And so, of course, last night there was no way she was going to ask for it, but we had prayed with her the night before on Sunday night, and that night she was asking for me to hold on to her, and I held her a little bit, and she would just be so restless she couldn't, you know, there was no energy left in her. And they still don't know. They gave it a title of some kind of infection in her whole body, so they don't know what caused the actual death, but it certainly wasn't her heart, it wasn't sugar, it wasn't any of those other things that they always feared. It was something totally different. And so last night I said to Irene, while we were alone, because again the nurses would come in and out, so we need to pray for her. And so I got up on one side of the bed and she got up on the other, and I anointed her forehead, and the Holy Spirit said to me, give some oil to Irene so she can anoint her foot. And my wife kind of looked at me like, you know, we've not done this before. I mean, we've anointed other people on the extremities, but not her girlfriend. And so she took the oil, kind of questioning, you know how you have that weird look in your face. And I said, just go ahead. Okay. And I anointed both her hands because they were right up front. And we interceded, and there was a real press to take the blanket, the sheet, I should say, and put it on her tummy area. My wife is standing right next to me. And not to press my hand towards her, but just say maybe 2 or 3 inches from her tummy, and just intercede in the Spirit. And I knew that this was different, but I didn't know to what degree. I did not comprehend. And after we sat down, our nurse came in, and when she left, I got hit so hard on the right temple of my head, I thought an arrow literally went into my head. It was so severe that I literally put my hand and I went into tongues to fight back what was trying to hit me. So I'm trying to make you aware that you will sometimes get a reaction from the enemy as you obey to go out and do, because you will be told to do. Every single one of you are going to be commissioned of God to do. I mean, but don't be surprised if there is a reaction. Don't start questioning your head if there's something that has happened, and blame yourself. So, you see, the fullness of salvation that he wants to bring in us is obedience, but there's always, usually, some kind of repercussions. So don't be too alarmed. Just respond in the Spirit, and it will go away. It went away. But today, when I learned this morning that she was gone, I said, okay. You know, that was the last time we would intercede for her. Now she's with Tony. So, you know, understanding, do we comprehend the fullness of that salvation? Do we comprehend what he's doing in us and through us? Do we realize what's in us? And sometimes I don't think we do. I don't think we really have an awareness of what's in us and the impact that we have on our visit to a person at the hospital. On the job. I mean, you've tasted some of this, okay? And you think that, the mentality of the natural mind, my heart is to expose that tonight so that you don't fall into a pattern of thinking that you're a normal, natural human being, because you're not. You're far above what you realize or what you've been taught that you are.
A friend that I've had way back from one time church sent me an email, a very joking email about old age. And okay. So I thought about it for about an hour, prayed about it, and went back and I sent her an email about, this is who we really are. And I began to list down the things that in Christ you are, in Christ you have, blah, 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 blah. I have no idea if she'll answer it. But I wasn't going to.
You weren't going to buckle under.
Old age, you have, and I thought, this is stupid stuff from the world. I didn't think it was funny. And it was a lot. But that was the correction that I received.
Mm-hmm.
This girl should have known that. That she was subjected herself to something like that. She's one that I would have thought would have not done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Irene's girlfriend was the type of person who loved to laugh through life. Yeah, but see, that was Doris. Doris was a comedian, okay? And she was going to make you laugh with whatever's happening in her life. And a few months ago, month or two, whatever, we went up there and she said to me, oh, she says, Kim, you'd be so proud of me. I said, well, what do you mean? She says, I'm so damn holy now. And I said, well, how are you damned and holy at the same time? She said, yeah, you know what I mean, she says. I said, no, explain, you know. She says, I go to the ecumenical service. I go to this woman who preaches. I go to this other service, and I go to this one, and I go to that one. And she says, you know what? I'm more holy now than I've ever been. And she was just joking, but she was joking with, I'm letting you know. You know, there was like that undertow that was saying, I'm seeing and understanding. I said, good. So you don't know what God's going to do. He kept her in that nursing home so that she could experience things she could never taste at home. She got to know the Lord to the degree that she talked to us about him. And she'd inquire to make sure that we anoint her with oil. And, of course, if it was a different oil, you know, she'd question, well, what is this? And just like you tonight, questioning, you know, what kind of oil is, you know, did you really anoint me with oil? And so she'd question and always got blessed and realized. She, at one point, said to us, I know I wouldn't be here if it wouldn't have been for you and Irene interceding for me. Now, that's a lot. For a person who's been brought up in the conventional lifestyle of churchianity, if you wish.
That was the oil. Is that spelled like the name Hannah?
Hannah, H-E-A. Yeah, Hannah. H-E-N-N-A.
Yeah, not like Anna. The name.
Hannah.
Hannah, the herb.
Yeah, the herb, Hannah.
What does it mean?
Well, I don't think it's listed in the paper, but you can look inside the little box.
I kept hearing healing. I didn't know because I didn't. I recognized the smell, but I couldn't put the name.
Yeah. So those are the things that I believe the Lord is changing us to understand. He's changing us to do the things that he's called us to do, to carry out that next level of salvation. And he's using people. That might be helpful to realize that, you know, each member of the body is to give out what he has, he or she, obviously. And when you give it out, the Holy Spirit's going to be honored. But that's part of his second coming. That's part of who he's working with, is the body of Christ in the earth. Now, I was pressed also to kind of look at something today. And I don't think it's time to go into the wholeness of that picture. But maybe down the road we will. I have a book that I've studied several years ago called El Elyon. and it's the Most High God. And it differentiates from the priesthood of Yahweh to the priesthood of El Elyon. And if you look at Jesus, he is definitely the King of the Jews, but he's also a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is a priest to El Elyon, not Yahweh. And if you remember, one of the things that I've taught you guys before is that we all wear many hats. We have many different jobs. And we treat people differently from the job, from the hat we're wearing, or the garments and the outfit that we're in. And one of the things that he brings out is that we, right now, 2008, are in transition and reformation. To reform us from what we were is what's really up to us to realize that we might have been in traditional churches, but what God is going to make from us is really a part of his body, his son, Jesus Christ. We will be the bride. We better get used to the idea that being the bride is going to be a whole different ballgame than from the law or the Ten Commandments. And I was blessed when you brought out the Beatitudes, because that is the calling of the church. All right? Those that do the work will bring the fullness of that salvation. That's what's being commissioned in us right now. And then my sister tells me tonight, she says, did you realize that the carpet that we have in this room is the carpet that is visible? And I'm not going to tell you where, but I'm going to ask you guys, except for Marianne, do you have any recollection of seeing this carpet anywhere else? Marianne, you want to educate him?
That I've been delivering to the hospital every day, to the gift shop, and I'm still in the foyer of the Centennial Building, the Bay State Medical Center. Yeah.
This is the carpet.
This carpet, and the brown with the...
the brownish green with the gold, same thing.
We're all the way down the hallway, and so there's, you know...
So are you ready to become the hospital for the Lord? To deliver his people? Because that's a little bit of what was going on last Tuesday night. I don't know if you realized it. That anointing was flowing in here. Did anybody else pick up on it? Because I watched the body ministry last week. It was this scripture being lived. Because every member of the house was actually commissioned to carry out something to do. It wasn't just one or two. It was every member being obedient. That's exciting. Okay? Also last night or the night before, I lost track because I've had very little time, but I did catch the computer and a couple of videos from Rick Joyner's church and the anointing that's there 13 weeks now into the anointing from Florida that's overflowed. And it was awesome to watch. Awesome because, of course, I'm familiar with the grounds, I'm familiar with the church, I'm familiar with some of the people that are there because they're connected to me. And so it was exciting to watch that. Very, very exciting. And watching several people. One young lady gave an intense testimony. She had had a major car accident and they put metal ribs in to protect her body. I think it's three. And so she went to that church, and the fire of God hit her rib cage, and those two or three ribs melted. And there was nothing left, and she could tell there was no protection. So she went back the next night, and guess what? She got real ribs, and they went back for x-rays, and she's got perfect ribs. So he melted the metal ones and gave her brand new ones. So body parts are the next level. Even so, it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and hear as bear as a burden the sins of many, once and for all, will appear a second time. Doesn't say might. Will appear a second time. Not carrying any burdens of sin, nor to deal with sin. See, and we're still in that sin process, which is what the old religious system is. In fact, in that book that I, like I told you, I studied that 7 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it is. And he pointed out, he said, all of the Jewish background, which deals with sin, the basic churches of churchianity, all are based on sin and the sin nature and how they're to beat themselves up and blah, blah, blah. All of that's going to disappear. All of it. And so get ready for some real war games, because we're seeing how, you know, God is not putting the anointing. He gave him a chance, and he says, now it's time to come out and go higher. And when you taste of El Elyon, you're not going to be tasting of the law with its criticalness. You're going to be tasting of the law of love, the law of mercy, and the law of grace. And that's El Elyon, the Most High God. That's what Jesus was so hated for. And that's why when you are not legalistic, all right, you're going to be looked at kind of weird too. All right? But to bring to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting and expecting him. So don't stop expecting. Don't stop eagerly wanting more. You're on the right path. Be obedient to it to the very best of your ability.